Hello and welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name's Jeff Berman. I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management Magazine and also the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. Today, it's a real pleasure to welcome back Jonathan Gold to the podcast. Jonathan serves as Vice President of Supply Chain and Customs Policy down in Washington, D.C. for the National Retail Federation, also more commonly known simply as NRF. John serves as a primary spokesperson for the NRF and is responsible for representing the retail industry before Congress and the administration on supply chain, international trade, product safety, and customs-related issues impacting the retail industry. While with NRF, John has been a leading advocate of the value of trade and global value chains to the U.S. economy. Prior to his time at NRF, John served as a policy analyst in the Office of Policy and Planning for U.S. Customs and Border Protection. He joined CBP in May 2006 and was responsible for providing policy guidance on issues surrounding maritime cargo security and trade-related matters. He has also worked on implementation issues surrounding the Safe Port Act and other issues within the agency, including CBP intelligence reform, pandemic flu, and trade facilitation. And he also serves on the Department of Commerce's Advisory Committee on Supply Chain Competitiveness and has also previously served on the Department of Homeland Security's Commercial Customs Advisory Committee and on the Department of Commerce's International Trade Advisory Committee on Distribution Services. That's a heck of a bio you got there, John. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Good to talk to you.
Absolutely. This is for those in the audience, this is John's third time joining us on the podcast, and he was actually the first one we ever had when we started rolling these out nearly 2 years ago. So it's always a pleasure to have you back, John. There's so much going on, to say the least. You know, there's any number of directions we can go in, and we'll get to hopefully all of them in the time that we have. But I thought a good place to start simply would be the impact of inflation as you see it and how it's sort of affecting or what it means for the retail supply chain processes, operations. I mean, it's impacting all of us in one way or another, whether you're a consumer, a business, or whatever. So how are you guys seeing things from that perspective?
Sure. So, I mean, we just had our State of the Retail and Consumer event last week, and we're looking at, you know, another strong year for retail. We're looking at a 6-8% increase in retail sales this year over last year, which was, you know, double digit growth last year, which was unbelievable, especially during the times we're in. But I think, you know, the inflation certainly continues to have an impact on retail at every level, and especially on the consumer, as the cost of not just the goods become more expensive, but the cost of making and transporting the goods become more expensive as well. And on top of the inflation, the ongoing disruption events that we're seeing also have an impact there as well. So, you know, despite the rosy outlook for retail sales this year, I think we still have a lot of challenging times ahead of us within the supply chain. And inflation certainly is one of those issues that our members are continuously paying attention to and trying to identify how best to address it, especially when it comes to the consumer. And how much of a price increase can the consumer absorb, especially as you see, you know, gas prices skyrocketing right now, which is a huge problem. So, you know, inflation is a top tier issue that retailers, our members are paying attention to.
Yeah, no question. 40-year highs for inflation are certainly hard to overlook in any circumstance. And you know, that kind of leads nicely. You know, we're seeing, and you had just talked about your 2022 retail sales forecast, which we actually covered late last week. A lot of interesting data in there, and also a lot of interesting data in your monthly port tracker report in that you co-produce with maritime consultancy Hackett Associates. How do you sort of view what's going on as we look at the state of retail container imports? You can't help but notice, for example, that the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach continue to report really, really high import levels, speaking to the ongoing, I guess, resilience of consumer spending habits, which has been going on for more than a while now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just LA and Long Beach, but I think other ports as well are continuing to see record volumes of imports.
Yep.
And part of that is just the ongoing strong consumer demand that we're seeing. You know, the fact that we've seen throughout the pandemic a $1 trillion swing in consumer spending from services to goods, you know, that's where this issue lies. And the consumer is still out purchasing either online or in store. And as things open up again, you're seeing more and more of that. I think consumers are starting to look to spend more back on services. You know, now that all the mandates of the mask mandates have gone and things are opening up again. But, you know, on top of that, the inflation is having an impact on that as well, and gas prices. And, you know, again, as airline tickets become more expensive and driving becomes more expensive, you know, are consumers going to want to go out and travel or just stay at home and spend more money? So I think that's kind of where everybody's looking at right now. But, you know, through our global port tracker, we're still looking at you know, monthly increases in imports. It's not going to be to the double-digit levels we saw last year, but still looking at single-digit increases, I think, throughout most of the year.
Yeah, no, the numbers have certainly impressed to the upside when you look at it on a month-to-month basis and an annual basis as well. And staying in a port mode for another few minutes here, John, I know recently that NRF President Matthew Shea wrote a letter to both leadership at the International Longshore Warehouse Union, Warehousing Union, as well as the Pacific Maritime Association about their pending labor deal that's set to expire at the end of June. I know we all remember how intense the last round of negotiations were. I think going back maybe 2015, 2016 timeframe, they required federal mediation services. You know, a lot to unpack there. Creates a lot of fear and anxiety too, as it relates to keeping port operations on track, especially during these interesting times. How do you guys, I mean, I know Matt did a really good job of laying out the NRF's concerns in his letter. Perhaps you'd like to just expound on that a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, you know, looking at the past history of some of these labor negotiations, I mean, I've been doing this, you know, well over 20 years, going back to the lockout in 02.
Right.
And so there's a long history of challenges and disruptions around the labor negotiations. So, you know, going off of what we saw back in 15 and 16, the fact that it took, you know, over 9 months and you had to have the federal mediator come in, there were disruptions occurring on both sides. You know, as the way we are in the supply chain right now with the ongoing disruptions, we don't need a man-made disruption to continue to impact the supply chain. So this is one where we certainly have the opportunity to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recognizing there are challenging issues that the parties are going to need to discuss, you know, our call upon them was to start having those discussions now. I know they're working on the local issues first, and then we'll get to the coastwide issues. But, you know, we're already getting to the end of March, and we know these negotiations take a while. And, you know, from our perspective, it's better to get to the table now, start negotiating, and stay at the table, you know, if a deal isn't done by the contract expiration. And, you know, give some certainty to those shippers that we're not going to see any kind of disruption. I know it's hard to tell right now, but, you know, with all the challenges that we're facing right now, this is one where, you know, we could look to both parties to provide certainty to you know, all the shippers who rely on the West Coast ports. You know, we've gone through almost 2 years of disruption now and challenges. And this is, again, is one area where we can, you know, avoid any kind of disruption if needed. So, you know, that's why we decided to write the letter now to, you know, just make sure they're aware that this is an issue people are paying attention to. And I know, you know, my members are already planning now for mitigation strategies to avoid any kind of potential disruption because they don't want to get caught flat-footed. So they're taking steps now to avoid anything that could potentially happen. You know, we certainly hope that there won't be any kind of disruption, but folks aren't going to wait to make those decisions. They're making them now.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. You know, time is truly of the essence when it comes to this this matter, no doubt. And once more, again, sticking with ports, you can't help but notice the reports out of China. You know, when we look at the zero COVID policy, there's manufacturing shutdowns and some key operation key locales there could slow down the pace of imports over here. It's just sort of another issue of the day, if you will. And I'm just wondering, have you guys been talking with your members about sort of the what is going on there and what's been reported over the last few days as it relates to the zero COVID issues at China-based ports?
Yeah, I mean, this certainly has been a continuing cause of frustration and just the ongoing disruptions that we see, just the not knowing, you know, what happens next with COVID. I think everybody recognized that the zero tolerance policy in within China was going to be a problem if there were any additional breakouts. And, you know, obviously we're seeing one now and we just continue to see these disruptions. It's, you know, I think unfortunately we're living in just a land of constant disruption in the supply chain for any variety of issues.
Yeah.
You know, between that breakout happening now in China, we've got obviously the war in Ukraine is having an impact on the supply chain. And you've got another vessel stuck, you know, outside of Baltimore. So this, it seems like there's always something happening in the supply chain that causes disruption that, you know, companies are just continuously trying to deal with right now is how do you mitigate that ongoing uncertainty, that ongoing risk? So, you know, we understand that things are starting to open up again in China, in Shenzhen, and we hope that they can, you know, recover pretty quickly. But that just means we're going to have, you know, another surge of you know, vessels coming to the U.S. That, you know, hadn't been planned for properly. So we hope that the ports and terminals are taking time now to plan accordingly, knowing what's going to be coming in the next few weeks.
Absolutely. And I mean, before you know it, I mean, and port labor issues aside, it's going to be, the conversation is going to shift to peak season planning.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And it's not as far away as everyone thinks. I know we're almost through the first quarter and, you know, last holiday seasons in the past, et cetera, but there's always an eye on what's around the corner. So when we look at the 2022 peak season, what do you think's in store? I mean, obviously there's the obstacles of inflation, potential port labor issues, but as we said at the outset, as you said, consumer spending remains strong. And just based on some of the hiccups that maybe we've seen in past years, many of which were pandemic driven, what do you think are some of the big plays in the retail shippers playbook approaching this year's peak season?
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, with the labor negotiation right at the outset of the peak shipping season, I think many retailers are already planning for that, and we'll be looking to bring product in early. We'll look to shift to East Coast, Gulf Coast, or Canada, Mexico, to be honest. So I think you're going to see a lot of, you know, earlier moves for peak season shipping this year. Yeah. But I think it's going to be continued. I think, again, you're going to have strong consumer demand and retailers are going to do everything they can to make sure that they meet that demand.
Okay. Yeah, no question about it. And you just alluded to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. How and in what ways are you seeing that sort of weigh on retail logistics?
Yes, yeah, so we actually have a benchmarking survey out right now trying to figure out the impact to NRF members. Obviously, many of our chain restaurants are concerned about the impact on wheat imports and,
yes,
and other staples. Obviously, the impact on fuel prices is part of that as well. And just the other thing people are taking a look at is some of the indirect impacts that we're seeing in some of the neighboring countries. You know, I had one member tell me that, you know, they have operations in Poland, and in Poland, they actually took some of the truck capacity out of offline to help with humanitarian efforts. So, you know, that's something that people might not be kind of taking a look at, that folks are having, that is having an impact.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if, you know, I hate to say it, but if this spreads beyond Ukraine, I mean, those are some additional challenges as well that we're going to have to deal with.
Absolutely. You know, I thought it wasn't all that long ago, but, you know, last year, a significant milestone was achieved with the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which has been the lingo, I believe, has been slightly changed down inside the Beltway to just simply the bipartisan infrastructure law. However you want to define or call it, it was a pretty big deal. And I know it will take a while for a lot of the big features of this bill to really kick in terms of dulling out funding and things like that. But something that basically every supply chain stakeholder has been clamoring for more than a while, to be honest. How do you view the passing of that late last year and what it means for retail shippers?
Yeah, I mean, that was significant. The fact that we got the bipartisan infrastructure bill done and into law, and now we're looking at implementation. I mean, the fact that, you know, we haven't had you know, a significant infrastructure bill in years. And the fact that our infrastructure is so underfunded right now, I think this is a good shot in the arm. And I think tries to take a look at some future issues as well. I mean, there's a lot in there on the supply chain in particular, especially on ports. So I think that was really significant. And I think the other piece of this too is that we're not just looking at building physical infrastructure, but looking at some of the digital infrastructure as well that's needed to help build resiliency into the supply chain. Because, you know, as we're seeing, you know, our ports are pretty full right now. But if we have better digital infrastructure to have better understanding of what's coming, where it is, and how to deal with it, I think that's going to help alleviate some of the challenges that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. Long overdue and definitely welcome. What about some of the other things that you guys are keeping an eye on? I mean, not just as it relates to, you know, the hot button issues we already discussed, like inflation, Ukraine. I was thinking more along the lines, piggybacking on the infrastructure bill, because obviously what is in that bill is geared towards roads, freeways, other types of thoroughfares. And obviously, we always have the ongoing discussion about the need for drivers. Mm-hmm. A lot of retail shippers, for example, have adopted more of a dedicated or private fleet model, which seems to be a really good approach because they can really identify what's going where and have dedicated routes and commitments. Is that something that you talk with your driver or not your drivers, your members about as it relates to sort of logistics planning, operations strategy, or is that just something that they're coming to you more for guidance on, for example?
I mean, we're having those conversations. I think every retailer is a little bit different in looking at their strategies and how they can do that. Obviously, the driver shortage is having a significant impact on everybody.
Yeah.
You know, especially retailers who are looking to hire in the private fleet. You know, not every retailer can do that, but those that are able to, that certainly is an opportunity for them within their supply chain to have more control over how things are moving.
Yes. So
I think retailers, you know, it all depends upon what their strategy is and, you know, their level of risk that they're willing to take. But I know, you know, again, it depends on the retailer. Some are looking to bring more of that in-house than others.
Yeah, no doubt. There's a lot to unpack there. And we look at, you know, drivers are one part of the labor force. There's obviously many others across all different parts of the supply chain, warehouse and distribution center workers, pick and packers, dock workers, etc. The labor shortage really has been unlike anything we've probably seen. Plus, the ability of the employee to sort of job hop from one company to another and usually get a pretty good raise. I guess with that as a backdrop, how do you sort of view the ongoing labor situation as it relates to the retail supply chain?
It continues to be a challenge. I mean, I think not just retail, but I think all sectors right now continue to have trouble finding labor, finding workforce, whether it's, you know, for us in the stores, in the distribution center or elsewhere. It continues to be a challenge. And I think many retailers have, you know, raised their wages to help attract some of those customers or those employees to come back or for first time employees. So it certainly continues to be a challenge for everybody across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. And just just to wrap up here, John, looking out at the rest of 22, we talked about a lot of different things. Obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty, specifically with the Russia-Ukraine conflict, port labor, a number of other things. What are some of the things sort of that you as an organization have your eyes on, I guess, both short-term and long-term? As things that you really need to be educating and informing your members about.
There's so much going on right now and so many different aspects of what's happening both here in Washington and elsewhere. It's impacting the retail industry. I mean, obviously all the trade and supply chain issues continue to be at the kind of the forefront of everything we're working on, from ongoing congestion issues, the, you know, Ocean Shipping Reform Act that we're working now in Congress that just passed the Senate Commerce Committee.
Yes.
The China trade issues that continue to remain there. The fact that we still have the 301 tariffs in place and that the, you know, administration is doing a review on those tariffs. We certainly think those tariffs have not worked and have caused more harm for U.S. companies than benefits. So we certainly hope that those will be removed at the end of the day. And then, you know, a host of other issues impacting labor and technology and workforce, just everything else that, you know, is having an impact on the daily operations of retail.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had just mentioned the Ocean Shipping Reform Act passing the Senate Commerce Committee. Is that something that the NRF, the legislation itself, I mean, is supportive of?
We're very supportive of the Ocean Shipping Reform Act. We have been from the outset, from the House passage, and been working very closely with the sponsors on getting that bill done. We think it's a good bill. We think it addresses a lot of the key issues that many members have been dealing with, especially on unfair charges related to detention demurrage, as well as a host of other issues. And to be honest, the challenges that we're facing today existed even before the pandemic. The pandemic right. further exacerbated and highlighted the need for some of these changes.
Yeah. Yeah. There seems to be a lot of positive momentum behind that bill. So it'll be interesting to see where it ends up. Well, this is great, John. I really appreciate the time and having you come back again. I just want everyone out there listening in to know that you can give John a follow on Twitter. And correct me if I'm wrong, John, is this still at John Gold DC?
That is correct.
Okay, and that's JONGOLDDC, all one word. And also, please go ahead and give us at Logistics Management a follow. And that's simply on Twitter at LogisticsMGMT. And also, please go ahead and sign up for our podcast if you're not already, wherever you get your podcasts. And just simply go ahead and look for Supply Chain 24/7. Hey, John, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Jeff. Always appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to have you. And thanks, everyone out there listening. And we'll see you next time. Have a great day.